tired of seeing their fat little faces everywhere. By his mercy, he saved us. To some he grants mercy, to some he does not grant mercy. Live with it. That's the teaching of the scripture. If you haven't studied Romans 9 with me, you ought to. If you haven't studied Ephesians with me, you ought to. If you haven't studied all the books of the Bible that I've taught with me, you ought to. Because you will, if you're not good, thank God that by the time people, if they, you know, how many people even get this far with me? How many people, have you gotten this far with me? Think about it. Blessed are your ears for the things that you hear. Very few people on the earth hear the things that you hear. Very few people on the earth delight in the things that you delight in. He shed this on us. But according to his mercy, he saved us, what? By the washing of regeneration. You know, that's the new man. You know, the new man which is created in Christ Jesus under good works. The new man which is born in the image of him that created him. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Buried with him in baptism. Raised with him in newness of life. There's got to be regeneration. And in fact, the word in Greek is pretty much, it's got genesia, which is like Genesis, you know. Palingenesis. A regenerate man. A renewed man. Renewed, again, is like renewing of your mind. Renovation. Same word. As in, let me see. Romans 12:1. As he talks about his washing, the washing, you know. So what is the wash? I mean, we're buried in baptism. That's being buried. That's being dead. But we are washed and regenerated in his blood. His blood is the power by which not only he washes away the sins of our past, but also his blood is the power and the salvation to actually take away iniquity. And cause us to walk in righteousness. Well, how does the blood of Jesus do that? It does it by the Word of God. Because the Word of God says that's what His blood does. That's how everything in the universe works. When the Word of God says, you know, the blood of Christ takes away sins. It takes away sins. If the Word of God says it is impossible for goats and sheep and bullocks to take away sins. And that's what that, then it is impossible for those things to take away sins. Jesus, as according to Galatians 1 verse 4, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. That is the will of God, that we should be delivered from this evil world while we yet live in it. Even yet living in it. Why? So we could shine as examples, like a city on a hill that cannot be hid. This is the true gospel. This is the truth which is in Christ Jesus. This is the hope of salvation. This is what the grace of God brings. He shed this on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Would you believe that?
Well, I haven't seen a lot of righteousness in my life.
Well, you can. If you're the called according to His purpose, have faith. Have faith in this, because faith is a gift of God. If you can't believe me, then you can't be of God. You have to be able to believe me. We are justified by His grace. We are made just. We are rendered just. Not just declared just, though that is part. He declares us just before we're even just, okay? He declares us the just ones. Before we are even born, He does that. But the grace of God teaches us some things, right? We learned that in the last chapter. Don't forget about that. We've got to take the whole counsel of God, not just one little part, not just the part that makes it easy. And it's all easy. It's all by faith. You got to understand. But you're cutting yourself off from the promises of God when you cut off the rest of the gospel. It's so sad. They start off in faith. They start off in a good thing. And it's like these merchants of death, these peddlers of Christ who have no part in the gospel or the kingdom of God have come in and robbed people. Robbed them blind. Subverting whole houses. Bringing whole families down to destruction. and I will speak evil of that, because it is evil. I will blaspheme the name of that gospel, because it is worthy of blasphemy. Paul, you're being awfully bold there. I know the position it puts me in. If I'm wrong, I'm damned. I'm damned for sure if I'm wrong. But you know what? I'll take that risk, because I know my God. And he knows me. He knows me. What shall I fear? Because of the Spirit of God, I got great boldness. Honestly, I think about it, like, should I fear? I have fear. I do. I fear lest a promise being left behind. You know, that I should come short of this salvation. He talks about a promise being left behind, that I should seem to come short of it. Let no promise of God be left behind. All the things he has promised, let them be taken unto us. Let us obtain those promises according to the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. This kind of sounds like something in Timothy, the faithful sayings of Timothy, 1 Timothy. This is a faithful saying. In these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions, and genealogies, and contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sins, being contemned of himself. Now look at that. Wow. What a simple truth. What is the faithful saying? They which have believed God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Good works is all the good works. Faith without works is dead. We're going to James next. You know, the only time it ever says faith alone in the, you know, it's by faith alone, through Christ alone, right? It says in James that faith without works is dead, being alone.